Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Our top story, as always, is brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Now, on top story to this evening, Ghana's energy sector to face challenging times as the Electricity Company of Ghana is predicted to face a potential bankruptcy due to the inability of the company to collect revenues for power it distributes. The company's inability to collect revenues is being cited as a leading cause of its indebtedness to other stakeholders, including state-owned entities like Ghana Gas, PRC, GMPC, VRA, and Greco. In a letter addressed to the Minister of Energy, PRC Executive Secretary, Dr. Ismail Aka, referencing a letter the ECG had written to the authorities about its financial difficulties, revealed that the crisis has potential of crippling the entire energy sector of the country. We'll hear from former Power Minister Dr. Kwame Adonko, who says ECG must be blamed for the financial challenges the company finds itself in now, because it is only able to collect less than 50% of the revenue for the power the company distributes every month. Now, though, let's share with you details of this letter the PRC has written to the Energy Minister. My colleague James Avegi joins me in studio. James. Now, the PRC first lays the foundation for this decision. It talks about acknowledging that the ECG has initiated and started the implementation of digital and metering programs. What more do we have there?
Well, Brace, as you said earlier, this is at the back of three separate letters written by the ECG. Two of those letters were to the energy minister and one to the PURC, and the PURC says that it has noted the persistent financial challenges facing the Electricity Company of Ghana, a matter of grave concern not only for the ECG but for the entire energy sector. Now, the challenges as contained in the letter submitted by the ECG, highlighting the imminent risk of bankruptcy, given ECG's strategic role in the power distribution, its financial inability poses a significant threat to the sustainability of the power sector and the security of electricity supply, which could lead to a national threat. And so that's the first part of it.
So a bigger threat there.
Exactly.
That the entire energy sector can crumble and that will lead to a national security threat.
Exactly. It continues to acknowledge that ECG has initiated and started the implementation of digital and metering programs expected to improve the cash collection. However, despite these efforts, the Commission's decision to increase tariffs by more than 75% since September 2022, ECG's financial difficulty persists. Indeed, for June and July 2024, ECG declared some 884.2 million Ghana cedis and 857 million Ghana cedis respectively. These amounts were not enough to pay the Tier A plus WAPCO's bill of $47 million per month. Unfortunately, in August 2024, ECG declared less than 800 million Ghana cedis as revenue. This represents about 42% of the revenue expected by the Commission to be collected and paid to the sector players. Now, Tier B companies, including Ghana Gas, VRA, Gridco, and ECGB, and the regulators are struggling to get enough of to pay their staff and administrators' costs because of the low revenue generation of the ECG. They drew some comparative analysis of what happens in other countries, for instance, in Kenya, what listed approximately 50% of its equity on the stock exchange. And so these are some of the remedies they talk about that the ECG could look at.
And PRC also cites the Tanzania example, where it says the Tanzania's government has converted a government unlent loan of 2.4 trillion Tanzanian shillings into equity. Since 2022, Tanzania Electric Supply Company Limited has consistently declared profits, reducing both technical and non-technical losses to around 9% as of June 2024. That's quite interesting there.
Exactly. And so same as Uganda. And so all of this comparative analysis is to draw a picture or paint a picture of what other countries are doing to help their power generation, power distribution companies and their collection rates, which they think that should be, I mean, looked at in the case of ECG to make it a bit more viable, either consider listing it on the stock exchange as other countries have done. But they've gone further to make other recommendations. They said drastic reductions in technical and commercial losses must be looked at, the enhancement of fiscal discipline and directive for ECG to avoid engaging in non-core activities, a relook at the nature of power purchase agreement, and an exchange rate regime that lessens the burden on consumers, and all of that. They concluded that in view of the above, the Commission recommends that the Ministry of Energy, in collaboration with ECG, the State Interest and Government Authority, SIGA, the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Public Enterprises, and other key stakeholders engage in a comprehensive examination of the root causes of ECG's financial difficulties. Such an exercise should aim to chart a path for transforming the company and safeguarding the energy sector. The Commission would expect ECG to provide transparency on key issues such as revenue collection versus the cash waterfall mechanism declarations, major contracts, and other monthly commitment, including meters, capital loans, and others, commercial and technical losses, non-core activities, and structural challenges such as full payment and other issues impeding on their work. And so that's essentially what the PURC has been about in that.
So release. So the PURC has analyzed the entire challenge that the ECG's inability to collect the revenues for power sold will have on the entire energy sector of Ghana, and proposed possible solutions that the state can consider in addressing these challenges.
Exactly, which they said needed to be taken urgently to forestall the power distributor from going bankruptcy or from their work crumbling to the ground.
All right, so that is what the PRC has painted to the authorities. Now, the company itself, ACG, has been detailing its state of affairs. Here's the managing director of the company, Samuel Dubik Mahama.
To run a business, you need money to run a business. And if you've been given a business where you are to sell and collect, if you don't sell and collect, you can't put anything back in the system. Do not forget, what we sell and collect under the cash waterfall system is how IPPs are paid. It's how the other SOEs, the VRAs, the GridCos, the PURCs, the Ghana Gas, the GMPCs, everybody has their allocation under cash waterfall. So we have to find a way to close the gap to make the whole system whole, because we are at the bottom of the food chain. The responsibility is on us to fix the problem. It's a holistic approach. If we do not raise enough money, we will not get enough money to fix it. You know, and the funny thing is that these are not operational expenses. These are capital expenditure. Until ECG is a company that has not been capitalized since 2007. All these new reforms that you've been seeing for the past 2 years since I've been in office have been us trying to be creative in using our operational expenditure to close the gaps. So all we do need is a conversation around the whole table saying that, hey, you cannot be doing this anymore. This is the capital expenditure that needs to be put in. Value this, value that, and let's talk around the big table to find that kind of money to solve some of these technical issues.
Well, we can now listen to Dr. Kwabena Adonko, who is former power minister of this country, and he's been calling for a national consultation on how to reposition the state power distributor to be financially sound. Listen.
This is not new. Indeed, it is unfortunate, it is unnecessary, and it is saddening that in the month of August, ECG only collected 42% of what they were supposed to collect. This is a serious indictment of the whole distribution system. if you're collecting only 42% of what you're supposed to collect, there is no way that an entity can survive going forward without drastic structural reforms. Yes, there is the need, but the timing, 2 months, to, 2 months into an election, this is not the time for the government of the day to come up with new proposals. And indeed, that was one of the reasons why the minority resisted the laying of some bills in Parliament to restructure ECG and NEDCO. Timing is important in business as well as it's important in politics. Yeah, but ECG needs a fundamental rethink. We remember the government of John Dramani Mahama in the past brought in the MCC, the Millennium Challenge Corporation, to help us with some investment into ECG.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that was botched after the NDC left office. There's a need to revisit. And what type of privatization, what type of private sector involvement will we be looking at? Our manifesto provides some guidance to the sort of thinking of the NDC.
Okay, but Dr. Kwabena Donko, I'm wondering, you have concerns about the timing. What will be the right time to be able to redeem this particular ailing company that you talk about?
No, the right time will have to be from January, because there is going to be...
An ECG can survive up until that?
Well, it has survived up till now, so it can survive until January.
Okay.
It can survive and for the next 2-3 months. Because there's going to be a deeper national consultation. It is not a knee-jerk reaction. This situation did not just happen overnight. ECG has been bleeding for a while. Indeed, ECG can be akin to the woman with the bleeding problem in the Bible.
Mm.
And it's been going on for a while. We must keep ECG going for the next 3 months for the new government, whichever party, so that there can be proper national discussion.
So you heard the former Power Minister, Dr. Kwabena Donko, speaking to my colleague, MFR Apel, earlier on Midday News. Now, let's bring in Nana Ya Janta, who is Executive Secretary of the Coalition of Stakeholders on Electricity Concession Arrangement, and also Dr. Nida Kwasanti, former PRC boss. Doc and Nana, grateful to you for joining us. Let me start with you, Dr. Nida Kwasanti. You've been at the PRC before. If you listen to what the PRC intends to do, trying to let us understand the challenges confronting the energy sector because of ECG's inability to collect its revenue, and what should happen, where should we start from?
Thank you and good evening to your listeners. I think one should start from, why is ECG not able to collect the revenue? The job that ECG has is not unique to ECG. Every single distribution company in the world has to collect revenue. For some reason, over the years, ECG has failed to do so. And to a large extent, we as a people, we as regulators, have failed to hold them to account. And that is why we are where we are. Privatization, which I hear being talked about, is essentially an admission of failure. Failure by the managers and board of ECG, and failure by the regulator to ensure compliance with required performance. So at the end of the day, there is failure, and we must admit to it. Things need to be done. They are not being done. To the best of my knowledge, no boss, no board of ECG has ever been fired or terminated for non-performance. And yet we are here. And it's, as Honorable Kwabena Donko said, it's been the same situation for many, many, many years. We didn't have to wait for it to get here.
Dr. Asante on the line.
Can you hear me?
Doc, yes, I can hear you now. I thought I'd lost you. But so you hear the PRC say that every intervention we intend to take must go with drastic reductions in technical and commercial losses, enhanced fiscal discipline, and a directive for ECG to avoid engaging in non-core activities. Relook at the nature of power purchase agreement and exchange rate regime that lessens the burden on consumers, and independent economic technical audit of ECG to assess the utility's true technical and financial position. Now, you've said that we have to start from a certain point. At what point in time should we take this decision? Is it, what time must we do it?
So we need to do what we need to do.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Should have done it yesterday. My point is that unless we know why we are where we are, we'll just throw a lot of solutions at it. The fundamental problem is the technical and commercial losses. ECG collects less than 50% of the revenue it needs. That has nothing to do with anything other than non-performance. So we must address the non-performance. There is wastage, yes. But if you don't collect enough, whether you waste zero or you waste 40%, you are still in the hole. So we have to start with, why does ECG not collect enough? Why have they not been able to improve their collection rate all these years? That is the fundamental problem.
You know, do you know why they've not been collecting enough?
Because they can get away with not doing so. If you have a taxi driver who collects less than 50% of the revenue he needs to collect, would you keep him in place? If you had a school which could never graduate any students, would you keep the headmaster in place? At the end of the day, the real problem is that ECG and the bosses we have had for ECG have failed to perform for many years, but nobody over the years has held them to account. That is the fundamental problem. We always say privatization as a solution. All you are doing is putting people who you believe will do the job in place of people who are not doing the job. But we never admit that somebody is not doing their job. We need to face the fact. If I'm given a job and I'm not able to do it and I'm not fired, I should be honorable enough to resign. If I'm not given the tools with which to work, I should tell the person who appointed me, and if they don't respond, I should resign. But to stay there and fail to perform is not acceptable. But we have accepted it.
Isn't this characteristic of the country's public sector? You can't be there whether you perform or not. You are there. Nobody will fire you. And therefore, people say privatizing is the way to get the best out of these companies.
So privatization is an admission of failure by regulators, by we the people, for not holding duty bearers to account. But it is an admission of failure. So let's admit that we are failing as people, as bosses. We are incompetent, whatever word we want to use. But let's admit the failure. I don't doubt if we say that it's lack of funds, that's one different thing. But I do not believe this is an issue of lack of funds.
So do you disagree with proposals to privatize?
I don't disagree. All I'm saying is that if we do privatize, let's admit the failure.
Okay.
It is difficult to regulate a public sector entity. I'm not denying that fact. But we have never said that we are unable to do so. We always privatize as if it's a solution. It's a solution to a problem of failure. And let's admit failure where failure is due.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we've all failed exams or something at some point. We don't pretend that, oh, it was the examiner who said too tough questions. When we fail, let's face up to it. If we recognize that we are not able to regulate public sector entities because maybe the appointing authority does not support us, let us say so. It's not an MPP, it's not an NDC thing. This has been going on for years. But it's as if, oh, it's not anybody's fault. We just need to privatize because privatization works better. Mm-hmm. Collecting less than 50% of the revenue you are supposed to collect is not acceptable in any business.
Okay. Let me bring in Nana Yajantua. She's Executive Secretary, Coalition of Stakeholders on Electricity Concession Arrangement, COSECA. Nana, you've been in this space for quite some time. Do you also admit that there is a management failure on the part of those who are in the helm of affairs at ECG, and therefore we need to look at how we can deal with it? What would be your best proposal as to how we can deal with this situation?
Thank you very much. You know, these issues have been discussed variously, and it's been there for some time. When I was in the PUR, at the PURC, we used to discuss these matters. But the most important thing is that who is making sure that the right thing is done? What are the benchmarks that have been given to the ECG to follow? Do we just give them tariffs day on without even finding out how they are utilizing the money that has been given to them? And this is what I say every time, that the benchmarks that goes with the tariffs, are they adhering to it? Of course, you are talking about privatization. But what form of privatization are you talking about? Because I saw in the PLC letter that they should float shares on the stock exchange. Who will put their money into an ailing organization, an ailing company? I think that we need to put ECG on its feet before we think about privatizing. In the letter, the PLC talked about some non-core activities that the ECG is involved in. They didn't give us exactly what it is. Mm. They also talked about the ECG buying fuel for the sector. Mm. That is not the work of the ECG, mm-hmm. to buy fuel for the generation, utility. So all these things must be looked. What is the governance structure of the ECG? Who is influencing what? Is government influencing anything? Is ECG allowed to do their work? Is a regulator regulating the ECG properly with all the tools and all the benchmarks? Because, I mean, when you do the tariff, there's a benchmark loss, 15%, 10%. Mm. In best practice, where they have all the technical, issues at hand, where they've been able to put in the right kind of lines, right kind of equipment, they give you a benchmark loss of maybe 10%, 9%. Here, because of all the issues to do with the equipment that they use, the lines that carry the electricity, because it's not very strong, maybe give you a benchmark loss of 15%. And if any utility goes beyond that benchmark loss, you need to penalize that utility. Then it means there is a problem. Commercial losses. We need to look at commercial losses. Are they collecting? If they are not collecting, what is the regulator doing to ensure that they collect? What kind of private sector involvement are you looking at? Are you looking at strategic business units where the utilities are in zones, like zone Accra, Eastern Region, Volta Region as one SBU, another region as one SBU, so that we know that these people are responsible for the losses. At the end of the day, you can hold one SBU for losses. So we need to have a holistic approach. We need to have proper stakeholder consultation about what is going on. The cash water fall has become some kind of a menace. And they are not distributing the money in that because they are not collecting. If you talk about an audit, I remember somewhere in June, the Pricewaterhouse did an audit on ECG. And I don't know what has happened to that report that came out. So we need to be holistic about everything in the sector, because if we are not careful and there is a total collapse of the electricity subsector of the energy sector, then we are in trouble. We are looking at tariffs. What about the depreciation of the CD, which is a component of the tariff? How has the depreciation of our CD affected the revenue of the ECG? What is the benchmark collection that the PURC has given to the ECG?
Okay.
Because if PURC is talking about 800 and something million, mm-hmm. what is the benchmark? You've just given us what they have collected. What is the benchmark that they have not collected? As a regulator, how is government even using PURC to advise it? How is the regulator acting as a regulator?
But when there are instances where the regulator does give advice or sort of tries to get the entities under control. We also, a few months ago, where there was a bit of, you know, a confusion between the PRC and ECG, when PRC wanted to, you know, get ECG to correct some anomaly. Isn't that where we should draw the line between where the regulator's role is and where the company has that, you know, mandate to listen to what the regulator says?
You see, the companies have to listen to the regulator.
Mm.
We are looking at the tariffs that are done, cost-reflective, cost-of-service tariffs, and the regulator is the one who gives the tariff. So the companies must listen to the regulator. Any time that the companies are not listening to the regulator, then it means that there is an interference which is on the part of the company. You know what? When I was in PURC, any time we sanctioned the companies, ECG, VRE, Gridco, nobody interfered. And they would do accordingly because we use the laws that are available like PURC did. So for me, it was a bit surprising that ECG would fight openly with PURC and nobody came in to stop them. I expected that somebody, either the president, because the PURC is under the office of the president, so that the president would come in to let the companies know that it's the work of the regulator to ensure that there is sanity in the system.
Okay.
If the regulator is frustrated, as I see, that the PURC is frustrated, this is what happens.
Okay.
Because it is only a frustrated regulator that would write a letter.
Nana, I hear. Let me bring in John Jinapo, who is ranking member on the Energy Committee of Parliament. John, the PRC was not explicit about, you know, floating shares on the stock exchange. It only gave us examples of what other countries in Africa have dealt with the situation. You have been in this sector for some time. What should we do? Do we have to privatize? Do we have to float shares? What sort of strategy must we adopt in this case to save ECG?
Under the Millennium Challenge Cooperation Agreement, where President Mahama secured $500 million to invest in the energy sector, we visited all these countries. I led a team to Uganda, to India, to Tanzania, to learn from good practices. And we concluded that you don't need to sell ECG. What you need is a concession. Because the major problem confronting ECG has to do with billing and collection. We set KPIs were to reduce the losses at that time at 22 to 8% so that the collection would hit 92% and over time it would hit 98% just like Umeme in Uganda and Kenya and Tanzania are all doing. You and I know the president's family got involved, bastardized the PDS, and even came and told us that they were presented with fraudulent documentation. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel. The roadmap is there. What we need to do is to take away the unnecessary political interference and the attempt by some people to make personal gain on the back of this concession. If we do in a transparent manner, in a fair manner, and put in place the right mechanism, we would turn ECG around. When I was leaving office, ECG made a profit of $316 million. Just last year, their financial, they made a loss of $10 billion. So we're talking of a system or a utility that is collapsing. And what the PRC has just said is to confirm what we've been talking about all these years. There's too much political interference in the management of the energy sector. And
but John, if during with the time, by the time you are leaving office, they made profit and they are making losses now, is a solution privatization then?
They were making progress, but they had done losses of around 22%. And we said that is not enough. Don't privatize it completely by selling it off. Involve Ghanaian entrepreneurs, the private sector, to collect the money for you. You create more jobs. You bring about efficiency. You bring about transparency. MTN sells credit. They allow people to sell on their behalf. Why can't we do the same with ECG? You made me. We went there. Went to Uganda. We can copy their model and tweak it to suit ours. But the problem, I'm telling you, is the corruption and a few cabal who always want to benefit from the energy sector. That is the problem.
All right, John, I'm grateful to you. John General Poe is a ranking member on the Energy Committee of Parliament. Nanaya Ajantua is Executive Secretary of COSECA. Dr. Nida Kouassante, former PRC boss, I'm grateful to you for joining us. But it is a day on which the staff of VRA have been protesting government's intention to merge some entities. Now, according to management and board of VRA, they say they were not engaged in the mergers and forming of this hydro authority, separating thermal and forming Ghana Thermal Authority, as well as merging NETCO to ECG to form the Ghana Power Distribution Authority. Today, most offices at their various offices across the country were on a sit-down strike, and they say that they will continue this on Friday to protest that decision by government. This has been Top Story. Up next is Newsnight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.